Joseph Asik of BlondBurner.ca, our daily podcast entitled Fired Up. And you know him fired up as the Hall of Famer, John Nelson of OSG Sports, is back on. We're going to preview the conference finals in MLS that begins Tuesday. Toronto FC, Columbus Crew, or should I call them Austin Crew? What do you say, John?
Them's fighting words, man. You better be careful with that kind of stuff.
All right, so first leg on Tuesday in Columbus, but the big news, Toronto FC will not have Sebastian Giovinco or Jozy Altidore. Could Toronto FC, if they pull off a victory, is this leg over? Does Toronto FC move to their second consecutive final?
Yeah, I could see that, but remember, A, Crew FC are the hottest team right now in MLS. B, you don't have Giovinco or Altidore in that first leg. So I think that really you'll see Greg Berhalter, who has done some tremendous adjustments when it comes to the postseason, because the team that Columbus was midway through the season, two-thirds of the way through the season, is not the team that's there now. So offensively, we've seen some things that are entirely different. Defensively, we've seen a couple of different setups. But right now, this is the hottest team in MLS. And Toronto's going to have to weather not having two of their big guns in this first leg. And I think that if Columbus can get out to an advantage, then I think that Toronto FC is going to have some head-scratching for the second leg of the conference final. I think that if Columbus is going to make some hay, it's going to be in this go-round, and Toronto FC is going to have to hang on.
All right, so the first leg starts Tuesday at 8 p.m. in Columbus. Now, this could be the last ever match in Columbus. What do you think the fans do? They come out and support? Do they come out and support in boo, or they don't come out and support? Let's get to that first of all.
Well, it's, first and foremost, there would be a lame duck year. So 18 would be, by all indications, a lame duck season in Columbus if the move to Austin, Texas is going to go down. And by all indications, Anthony Precourt is in no mood to sell to a local group. He wants to move to Austin because he knows that the value of his franchise, in theory, would increase, considering that right now, of all the teams in MLS, they're near the bottom in most, if not all, of the business metrics that folks decide that they want to measure themselves by. Franchise value at 135, I think it puts him toward the bottom of the list when it comes to the Forbes list that came out earlier this year. But that's the question. What do the fans do? Do the fans come out and considering that they've bought tickets, do they support the team, boo the owner? Do they buy the tickets, which have been bought? Do they not show up and do that as a show of force, or do they just really do some combination of both? Because by all indications, there have been a lot of tickets sold for this particular match, but there's been no announcement by the team itself as to if it's a sellout and if there's going to be any kind of standing room tickets available. If you go searching online, there's an announcement that there are standing room tickets available, but that's only online. The team is not making any kind of outward notification toward the availability of tickets. So I think that once again speaks to what PSV is doing or not doing when it comes to promoting their own product. I think that if they have it their way, that the team just does its thing, does 2018 as a lame duck year, people show up that show up, and then they move to Austin in 2019. But that is the larger question. How many people show up, and what's the response? Do they back the team? Do they boo the owner? I think that's what's going to go down. I think you're going to have something akin to a full house. But I think that if there's any mention, instance, whatever, of Anthony Precourt, that he gets booed summarily. And it wouldn't surprise me if there were a boatload of Save the Crew hashtag signs that were all over the place at Mapfre Stadium. So I think it'll be an interesting social experiment when we watch the match.
All right, so let's get to the match. Give me the reasons Columbus Crew wins. Give me the reasons Toronto FC wins. And for Toronto FC, with the two players not playing in the first leg, I know it's a big question mark. Okay, they don't need to win. Imagine if they, like last time, They score one road goal or two road goals, and that's it. So they just need to score a road goal, right? Is that the goal Vanny's telling? Okay, obviously we want to win, but let's try to score a road goal.
Yeah, you're trying to get road goals, and I think that's the instance. That's your best-case scenario if you're Toronto FC. There's going to be some shifting parts, obviously, when it comes to the starting XI, but your notion is to try to get some kind of a road goal on the board to make it that much more difficult for Columbus when everything heads to BMO Field. It wouldn't surprise me if this was one of those wide-open matches where it's a 4-2 kind of a thing, one way or the other. But I think that, obviously, the more road goals that Toronto FC gets on the board, obviously, the more difficult it's going to be for Crew in the back leg to, with everyone back, presumably for TFC, to score goals in the back leg to advance to MLS Cup.
Okay, so now let's get to let me ask you this first. What's your prediction of the first leg, Columbus or Toronto FC?
First leg, I think it'll be 2-1 Crew.
2-1, okay. So now let's get to the west side here. Seattle defending MLS champions. Open up in Houston. How do you think that matchup's going to go?
I think that, I think it's going to be interesting with Houston finding their legs. It's going to be really, I think it's going to be a fun one to watch because of the Houston group that you see with them coming back from international duty. I think that with Elis and Kyoto, key imports from Honduras, then you have the guys like Cuba Torres who've come in and done quality things. You have Manotas who's come in and done quality things this season. And you have a defense that has stepped up for Wilmer Cabrera, that it's been it's been an interesting run for Houston, and I think that they're going to be a tough test for the Western Conference final just because of what they've been able to accomplish this year. So, I'm looking at Houston to do well in their leg because traditionally Houston on the road really doesn't do well. I mean, they got the result that they needed in the last round, which was back, about 7 or 8 months ago, when it comes to how things were with scheduling. Good night. I can't believe that. How long have we not talked about soccer? Anyway, sidebar.
November 5th.
But I think that Houston – yeah, I know. So it's like I think that Houston's going to get the result at home, and I think that they're going to hang on the road. So look for Houston to get 2 or 3 at home and hang on, unless they can replicate their road form. That really, I know that I kind of gave you a look-see and a prediction all at the same time, but I think that Houston's going to be really tough at BBVA Compass, and I think that they'll probably get their result at home and then hang on the road.
All right, now final question with John Nelson of OSG Sports here. Take me through, every other team is on sort of gearing for next season. And the season, once you have the MLS Cup, the training for the season is, 4 weeks away. So take me through what you think is going to be the biggest story in the MLS offseason.
LAFC and how they construct their team on the fly. I mean, right now they're a team without a goalie. I think they might have 2 or 3 players, Vela and a couple of others. How does Bob Bradley construct LAFC? I think that's the larger question. So, for me, the new guy coming in, that's one. And then who are the other expansion franchises and when do they come in? Because I know that you're looking at the Board of Governors meeting next month and you're looking at Sacramento, you're looking at Cincinnati, and you're looking at Nashville. Do all three come in at one time and with set years? Is it staggered years? Is there someone else who comes in from the outside? But I think that the stadium deal in Nashville really has elevated them to the top three status. I think that the stadium deal in Cincinnati might hold them back to be the third of the three, and Sacramento is ready to put a shovel in the ground right now to expand or build their new facility. So I think that the building of LAFC and the expansion of the league itself, I think those are your two big storylines, and how the roster at LAFC is assembled, and how those three markets respond, and who gets the nod to be the new expansion teams.
That's John Nelson of OSG Sports, the Hall of Famer. John, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you.
Easiest way is on the Twitters, at OSG Nelson on Twitter, or you can follow along at Soccer Down Here, the show that at Long Shoe, at Jared underscore Smith, and at OSG Nelson host from 9 a.m. to 11 live on Blog Talk Radio, and also syndicated overnights on ESPN Coastal and syndicated on the Barn Burner app here north of the border. So like me, friend me, be a part of my conversations every single week, every single day. Reach out to me on Facebook as well at John Freeman Nelson, because there's apparently 35 John Nelsons out there, and I had to put the Freeman in there just to be different. So that's Facebook and Twitter, and follow along on Instagram at Cute Sports Guy, because if that's what the boss says I am, that's what I am.
All right. You are Cute Sports Guy here in Canada. You're definitely better looking than Norm. Anyways, that's
wow.
John Nelson. Yeah, wow. John Nelson of OSG Sports in Atlanta, and he'll be back here next week recapping the first legs of the conference final. Thanks a lot, John.
Anytime, my friend.